Hey. Hello, Scribes. Can you come in, please? Please confirm you're receiving audio and type me a little something something back. Awesome. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, everyone, shall we get started? Good morning, everybody. My name is Rinalia Abdulrahim. I'm the chair of the Board Committee on Structural Improvements. This is a session on ICANN reviews. And reviews are one of several accountability mechanisms for ICANN. They are mandated by the affirmation of commitments in our bylaws, and they have significant implication for ICANN as well as our stakeholders. Today, we have quite a bit of material to get through, and here is how the session will flow. We'll start with a presentation on the proposed schedule of the reviews by Denise Michel, followed by improvements for both the AOC and organizational reviews in terms of process and operational improvements that are underway, as well as those that are being considered by the board to make reviews more efficient and effective. After that, we'll have an update on the implementation of completed AOC reviews, the SSR, Security and Stability Resiliency Review, the HUIS Review, and the Accountability and Transparency Review, Team 2. After that, I hope to have Christy Spain join us. He's the chair of the Board Governance Committee, and he will give a view on the board assessment of progress in the implementation of the completed AOC reviews. And then we will get a heads up or reminder on upcoming AOC review by Margie Milam, followed by an update on organizational review, where Ray Polzak, who's the former chair of the Structural Improvements Committee, will give a general overview, followed by Jen Wolf, who will present a status on the GNSO review, and Larissa Gernick, who will touch on the status of the at-large review in terms of the proposed revised timeline. And after that, I hope that we'll get to a discussion and feedback from you in terms of the schedule, the improvements to process and operations, as well as any other general feedback that you would like to give us. So let's begin. Denise.
Thank you, Rinalia. So currently there's a public comment forum opened. It started in mid-May. It closes on July 2nd. So far we have zero comments. One of the reasons we wanted to hold this session today, in addition to sharing a wealth of information with you about a variety of review issues, is to call your attention to this important public forum. We're seeking the community's input and thoughts on how we should schedule the mandated reviews, and also to get your feedback on some proposals to improve the process and administration and streamlining of the reviews themselves. The affirmation of commitment requires ICANN to conduct reviews in four key areas. And of course, the bylaws commit ICANN to reviewing its structures. The AOC reviews are on a three-year schedule. The structural reviews are on a five-year schedule. We have a confluence of reviews in fiscal year 16, which starts July 1st. If we follow both the affirmation of commitments and the bylaw mandate, we would have three affirmation of commitment reviews starting in this coming fiscal year. That's the competition, consumer choice, and trust review focused on new GTLDs, the second WHOIS review, and the second security, stability, and resiliency review. In addition to those three community-led AOC reviews, we also would have, because of the timing of the previous reviews, four structural reviews, including the at-large, the ESSAC, the NOMCOM, and the RSAC. We've received concerns about community workload and the need to stagger these reviews and take into account the breadth of issues and work the community has on its plate. And so in response to that concern and a request for some ideas and proposals in this area, and also in response to the Accountability and Transparency review team, the second review team, that recommended that ICANN improve its processes and operations of the reviews, we have a proposal pending for public comment. The proposal is that we move forward with the three affirmation of commitment reviews in FY16. That would entail launching SSR2, WHOIS2, and Consumer Competition Trust Review at the same time with a call for volunteers in early October, and deferring the four structural reviews into the next fiscal year. And that would also allow the at-large review to, which would be the first one up, to take more time in planning and information gathering before they start in the following fiscal year. In addition to this, the proposal that's out for comment suggests a variety of operational and management improvements to try and streamline and improve how we conduct reviews to make them more effective and more impactful, frankly. It would provide more planning time at the front end, provide assistance to this community review teams to provide clear scoping and chartering. It would also include in their period of service a bit beyond their final report to the board, so it would allow the community and staff to engage the review team members in a discussion about their final recommendations, so we have an opportunity to clarify with them their intent and additional questions regarding implementation, so it provides a stronger tie between their recommendations and how we implement them. Larissa will be providing some more detail for you on the proposed process and operational improvements. But again, I just want to call your attention to the proposed timeline for AOC and organizational reviews, and we're really encouraging the community and all the SOs and ACs in particular to look at their work plans for fiscal year 16 and consider what they would prefer in terms of how we schedule these reviews and provide us with some feedback on whether they can accommodate their participation, not only in appointing and recommending individuals to be appointed to these reviews, because, of course, the AOC reviews are community-led, but also ensuring that their workload can accommodate the important engagement, information sharing, and feedback that are part of this review process. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Larissa to provide you some more information on process improvements.
Thank you, Denise. So to follow up on what Denise was saying, some of the process improvements that are already underway, in addition to the ones that are outlined in the proposal, is using the Global Standards of Project Management Institute applied to the implementation planning and execution of the implementation plans. This is already being piloted for the implementation work on ATRT2, and in the next section when we talk about an update on that, you will see some elements of that. It has to do with clear and concrete scope of work for the implementation, as well as specific and clear scheduling and timelines, including milestones, budgeting of resources up front in the implementation planning phase, and regular and consistent reporting of progress, and that is now taking place on a quarterly basis. In addition to improved tracking and reporting, the Board of Directors and the community will have an opportunity to review the progress on a regular basis and ensure that the implementation work is tracking based on the intent of the recommendations from the review teams. We're also working on developing a centralized tracking mechanism so that all the recommendations from all the different review teams, both AOC reviews as well as organizational reviews, are available in a central place and where it would be much easier to see what the prior recommendations had been, how they had been implemented, and what the status is. So that is currently work in process. We are also working on revamping the ICANN web pages that pertain to the reviews. And those pages will go live within the next couple of weeks. But you will see improvements there in the area of clarity and ability to find relevant information pertaining to all the reviews. One element of recommendations from the ATRT, too, had to do with improved planning and budgeting for the AOC reviews in particular, and of course that applies to all the reviews as well. So we're putting in place a process where planning and resource budget allocation will be done upfront prior to the beginning of any given review, and that will be considered in the scope of developing the review. So all the necessary work, timing, and resources are anticipated, tracked throughout the process of the review. In addition to this, the board is also considering adding oversight for AOC reviews in a fashion that's similar to the structural reviews. Currently, the Structural Improvements Committee has the oversight over the organizational reviews, which are the bylaws mandated reviews, and they're considering whether it would be useful to add a similar construct for oversight over the AOC reviews. So as far as the next steps are concerned on the proposal that we've outlined for you, the public comment period closes on July 2nd. So we very much would appreciate comments both today, later. There will be an opportunity to provide comments as well as through the formal process. The board will consider the proposal, including all the feedback from the community, on July 28th. At that point, there will be sufficient information potentially to come up with a review schedule, a firm review schedule. And then starting in early October, there would be a call for volunteers for the three AOC reviews that Denise had mentioned. And Margie will outline more specific information about the new Consumer Choice, Consumer Trust, and Competition Review, as well as the kickoff of the second SSR and second WHO IS, which are scheduled to start at the same time with a call for volunteers in October. And now we'll turn it over to Denise for an update on the implementation status of the SSR review.
Thanks, Larissa. So we won't go into any great detail on the status of the pending implementation on these current reviews. All of the information is regularly posted on ICANN's website, provides details on the details of each of the recommendation, how it's being implemented, and the status of each one. The URL can be found on this slide. But we want to just again remind you that all this information is online, and I think, as Larissa has mentioned, we'll be updating the website and tracking mechanisms in the next month or so, so we'll provide even more information and an easier way to access it. But briefly on the SSR review implementation, we had 28 recommendations that were proposed by the review team. They were all accepted by the board. A little over half are complete in terms of their recommendations, and about 46% of the projects are in implementation. And this ranges from evolving our SSR outreach and engagement, providing more details on budget and implementation of the SSR framework, as well as numerous other improvements related to ICANN's SSR remit and mission. Again, more information is online. There are SSR staff here in the room. If you have any specific questions on this, we'd be happy to answer. But with that, I'll turn it over to Margie.
With respect to the Who Is Review implementation status, there were a total of 16 recommendations that came out of that review back in 2012. 57% of them are complete, 37% of them are in progress. And the ones that are in progress, a lot of them are linked to community-related work. So, for example, there is work underway to develop policies related to privacy and proxy services. They're in the PDP process and currently have published a draft report. There's also work related to the internationalized registration data work and the questions related to translation or transliteration of contact data. And again, those are still in progress. And when those are complete, we'll be able to update the status to have more of these recommendations complete. So we're in the interesting time where we're planning for Who Is Review Team Number 2 while we're still currently implementing the recommendations from the first Who Is Review Team. And there's also a lot of work underway on other Who Is related work, such as the examination of whether to come up with the next generation of registration directory services that were came out of the EWG work. So there's a lot of activity going on related to Who Is. There, in the link, you can see details on every single recommendation and the current status of them. And then I believe the next one is Larissa. She'll talk to you about ATRT2 status.
With ATRT2, there were 12 recommendations that were issued, and while no single recommendation has been fully implemented, you will notice that the 12 recommendations were broken down into 115 milestones, of which about half is complete and half is in progress, and this is information as of March 30th. By the next update, which will cut off as of June 30 and will be provided within a month or 6 weeks after the cutoff period, you'll see that some progress will be made on a number of recommendations, such as board training, various improvements made by the language services team in the area of multilingualism. There's also the proposal to improve review effectiveness was recommended by ATRT2, and the way we're progressing toward that is by posting the proposal that we outlined for you earlier in this session. Also, there's been significant progress in the implementation of the strategic plan, which is now linked to the five-year operating plan and the FY16 operating plan and budget, and this was related to recommendation 12 of the ATRT2. We're also making progress towards measuring accountability in response to recommendations from both accountability and transparency review teams, both ATRT1 and 2, asked that measures be put in place to determine progress towards increased levels of accountability. This work is based on the definition of accountability proposed by One World Trust in February of 2014 and a collection of key performance metrics that are being assembled is currently underway, and eventually this work will transition into measures of institutional confidence in ICANN.
Thank you.
And now I'll turn it over to Margie for discussion about upcoming reviews.
Thank you, Larissa. Did you go back? I wanted to spend this time to talk about the newest one that will be starting in the fall, the one related to competition, consumer choice, and consumer trust. This one is the first one of its kind, and under the affirmation of commitments, it will look at those elements of the new GTLD program and how the new GTLD program was affected in the areas of competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. But it's also going to take a look at the effectiveness of the application and evaluation process and take a look at the safeguards put in place to mitigate issues that were involved in the introduction or the expansion. So when you think of the scope of this affirmation of commitments review, it's going to cover very many topics, things like the rights protection mechanism. That we had a session yesterday, or I guess the day before yesterday, on Monday, related to all of the reviews that are currently underway at ICANN, examining the new GTLD program, and there'll be quite a bit of activity anticipated in this particular review. These reviews under the affirmation of commitments are recurring, so it's important to know that this is not just a one-time thing. It'll start, as I mentioned, at the end of this year, but then again, there'll be another one 2 years later, and then they are scheduled to occur every 4 years. And just to remind you of how these reviews work, once the review team comes up with its recommendations, those recommendations go to the board, and then the board, under the affirmation of commitments, is required to act within 6 months. And then there's usually an action plan or an implementation plan, as Larissa mentioned, a very detailed plan that takes a look at how those recommendations are implemented. And that can involve, for example, going back to the GNSO, like in the Who Is Review team, to ask for additional policies if necessary to implement some of the recommendations. And so it's a long process, but it's scheduled to kick off later in the year. Now, specifically, the affirmation commitments also talks about how the review team will be formed, and it mentions that the members of the review team will include the GAC chair or its nominee, the ICANN CEO or the designated nominee, as well as representatives from the SOs and ACs and independent experts. So we're looking at a fairly large group as we plan for this review to try to encompass the various topics that might be covered under this review. And then the affirmation of commitments points out that the composition is to be agreed to by the GAC chair and the ICANN CEO. And so we anticipate those discussions will take place after the Buenos Aires meeting as we prepare for preparing the call for volunteers so that we make sure that the call for volunteers has the type of expertise that we're looking for when we try to solicit volunteers for that group. And some of the issues that we already can anticipate related to the new GTLD program, there's a lot of information that needs to feed into this review. And so there are community metrics that have already been collected based upon input from some of the groups from the GNSO and the ALAC. Those metrics were approved by the board, and staff is currently in the planning stage for publishing a portal that I believe is to go live after Buenos Aires that has a lot of detailed metrics that really will feed into this review. There's also two big surveys that are underway, the economic survey that's being conducted by the analysis group and the consumer survey that's being conducted by the Nielsen firm. The Nielsen firm has actually published some of its findings related to the consumer study, and there was a session on Monday that talked about those issues. And these are intended to create baselines so that a year from now there'll be a follow-up survey to see how the data has changed as the new GTLDs have gone. More of them are in operation. There's more experience related to the new GTLDs. And one of the, some of the issues that we've are considering is how to manage the size of the review team and how to identify members that will reflect the diversity among the different SOs and ACs and the type of technical experience that we're looking for in the review team. We're also, again, concerned about the bandwidth issues because there's a lot of activities that we anticipate will be going on, as Denise mentioned, the three reviews, plus a lot of other work going on in the community. And then one of the issues that has been discussed over the last few days is how these how this review relates to the other reviews that are being conducted by the GDD team and others, and the GNSO, for example, on the new GTLD program. So there's a lot of questions related to that. And then we're also cognizant of the discussions with respect to the IANA transition, as there's discussions about making the affirmation of commitments reviews part of the bylaws. And so we're trying to keep informed of that discussion so that we're consistent and don't have any issues there. And so, as I mentioned with the timeline, we're now kind of thinking through the review team formation issues, knowing that we'll do a call for volunteers right at the end of September, early October. As the timeline progresses, that means that the review team will probably be convened towards the early part of next year, and we're anticipating roughly a year of work, which means that the recommendations, you know, and again, this is all up to the review team and eventually the chair of the review team, but we're anticipating that that review might be done by March of 2017. And with that, I'm going to hand it to Chris, and he'll talk. No. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. My apologies for being late. Give me one sec. Here we go. I'm just going to briefly tell you, give you an overview of what the board has been doing in respect to all of these views, reviews. We ran implementation assessments recently in a group of small board committees, ad hoc committees, to look at each of the ATRT2, WHOIS, and SSR reviews, and the goal was to be able to inform the board of progress, to identify any problems, suggest improvements, and to ensure that implementation is complete, and suggest improvements for future reviews. Small teams split up in sort of three or four people, went away and did a deep dive into each of the SSR, WHOIS, and ATRT2 reviews. Just to give you some examples, on the ATRT2, which is the one that I led, we looked at the fact that we thought that perhaps more detail of progress needed to be published for the community, because there were, you know, people saying things hadn't been done, but actually they had been done. It's just that you didn't know that they'd been done. We found some recommendations where it was quite difficult to be clear on when they were complete. What is the sign of complete that you've completed the recommendation? We looked at sometimes it's difficult to know what the interdependencies are amongst the recommendations, and it's important to mark those. And we also recommended to the board that on the ATRT2 one specifically, that the board governance committee should work more closely with staff to see the recommendations through to completion. Each one of the three reviews came up with a series of suggestions and so on. And at the end, we saw some common issues, what we thought were common issues common to the implementation of all three reviews. And they included things like that recommendations tend to assume unbounded resources from ICANN and from the community, so not just money but time and effort. And that's something that we need to remember, and perhaps prioritization and feedback loops should be established to determine the most effective approach. So, for example, there perhaps shouldn't be anything wrong with going back to the ATRT review team and saying, okay, thanks very much, they're all fine, now you tell us what order you want us to do them in so that we don't actually end up trying to do everything at the same time, or being justifiably criticized for making our own decisions about priority. The other point, of course, is that often there are contingencies. I mean, for example, on ATRT2, there are a deal of recommendations in respect to the GAC. So there's a contingency there that the GAC actually has to enroll and do some work. So we did all of that, and I think we've learned some very interesting lessons about the future management of reviews. The other thing I wanted to just very briefly tell you was that I'm sure you all know this anyway, but obviously the work that we're doing on restructuring the reuse and a review framework will have space for the CCWG and or CWG recommendations that involve reviews to be slotted into it. So we don't know yet exactly what those are going to be, but we're expecting to know relatively soon, and we're going to slot them in as they need to be. Denise, did I cover everything you wanted me to cover?
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. And that was the update on AOC review. So let's move on to organizational reviews, and Ray will start us off.
Thank you, Renalia. Oh, I even get a toy to play with, too. Okay, I'll go through these more complicated slides relatively quickly. Complicated in the fact there's a lot of words on them. Objective, obviously, is to comply with the bylaws examination of organizational effectiveness. I'd like to take a quick brief step back here. These are not structural reviews. These are organizational effectiveness reviews. Trying to examine and fix a structure without understanding the underlying root causes of a problem, i.e. the effectiveness of the organization, is sort of like rearranging the deck chairs in a Titanic. You may get the chairs all lined up nice, but there's still water coming through that hole in the hull. So it's organizational effectiveness we're looking at. And obviously, as a result of the review, you could end up having structural changes. So there are some changes that were made to this round from the last round. The most significant one probably was the review working party. This is composed completely of members of the organization that's under the review. And Jen will talk more to that when she discusses the Gina Sowell review. But needless to say that this is the key element of the review. The independent examiner is just that, an independent examiner. The criteria that the independent examiner uses are not criteria that they develop. It's criteria that's given to them. There's two sets of criteria. One set of criteria is common to all reviews. So, for example, everybody in ICANN that has an election, that election will get looked at with the same criteria. Everyone will get looked at with regards to diversity and levels of participation. Now, when there are specific things that are peculiar to that organization, that's where the review working party comes in to develop those criteria. And that is what is presented to the independent examiner as part of their scope of work. The work methods are to examine the documentation, records, and reports. That doesn't take any involvement by the members of the community. That's primarily an effort between staff and the independent examiner. The 360 assessment involves not only the organization under review, but the entire ICANN community is invited to participate in that. And then there are limited interviews that are conducted based upon what was presented in the 360 assessment. In other words, the independent examiner may want to flesh out some ideas and so forth. What this does, it takes out of the loop the repetitive ICANN meetings where the reviewers are going around and talking to a number of people, and the questions they ask change from time to time, even throughout the course of one particular day. So we're trying to get some standardization here. The criteria, as I said, they're objective, they're quantifiable, and most importantly, they're consistent in their application. And we are already gaining lessons learned from the GNSO review that are actually being applied to what's going to happen in the at-large review, and the at-large review in turn will provide the same lessons learned type of activity as well. The review cycle, we sat down and did some strategic planning here, and it's 5 years, so what do you do at 5 years? Well, you don't spend 5 years going around poking and prodding and seeing what you can find. You actually do a lot of things. So planning, there's 6 months that are devoted to that. That also could include some assessments of where the progress is to date. Those could be internal assessments that are made by the organization. The formulation and finalization of the criteria, and the procurement and engagement of a vendor to be the independent contractor or examiner. Then a review is conducted, 9 to 12 months to do the actual review type of the work. Then 3 to 6 months to plan the implementation. It takes time to plan the implementation, to look at everything. And let me step back a little bit into the conduct review. It's not just the work that goes on collecting the information. There's also an interaction that continues back and forth between the review working party and the independent examiner in the production of the draft report, public comment, and then a final report. So that's all in that same period. Anyway, so planning the implementation, looking at the implementation, there's going to be maybe a categorization of the recommendations. Obviously, looking at the urgency of the recommendations, some of them are going to be immediate. Some of them are immediate because they're already in progress. Others are immediate because it's something that has to be taken care of right away. Others are maybe short-term, and others may be long-term. Depending upon where they fall, the longer-term ones obviously will get into the strategic plan, so they become objectives inside the strategic plan. Short-term ones would also be included in the strategic plan, but they also will then start showing up quickly into the operational plans. And then all of them, to include the immediate ones, will be in the budget. And so with regards to the ones that are already in progress, the ones that are immediate, they have to be taken care of. Part of the implementation plan is a budget plan, which says, here's what we need to get started right away. So if this comes in the middle of the budget cycle, there may be a need to do some supplementary budget work. But the idea is to get things moving and not to delay. Then there's a period of about a year to implement the improvements, get them working. And this would include getting them included into the appropriate plans and budgets, and would include beginning work, or continuing work. Then, for a period of maybe up to 2 years, there's a work in the operating world. In other words, 2 years to really work with these recommendations and the implementation of them to see if they really are working. And it does not stop the organization, as this is going on, to take periodic snapshots of pieces or all of what's been recommended to occur, because that will then feed back into the next review, which takes us back up to the cycle. Here's a bar chart with a schedule. You can see it goes out for about 2 years, and it's got a lot of stuff on it. I'm not going to go through it. It's very busy, and that's a large part of what was just being discussed earlier. This is important, roles and responsibilities. Now, if you notice, that the portion that belongs to the board, which is under the third column SIC, the Structural Improvements Committee, is very short. And that's because it's primarily one of accepting and oversight and ultimately doing some approval work. You'll see a lot of the responsibility is on the organization itself under review in terms of things that get done and things that they can do and how important they really are. Independent examiner is right there. Staff is a facilitator. They are not the arbitrator, the dictator, or anything else. If anybody is really in control of what's going on, it's the review working party in those terms. Once the reports are finished, then the report is accepted by the board upon recommendation by the committee. And once the implementation plans and so forth are put together, they're approved by the board upon recommendation by the committee. You'll note that otherwise the committee is performing its oversight through the use of periodic reports and making sure that the scope of review is where it should be and is also the one that confirms the independent examiner. And so I guess I'll go back one because that's Jen's slide. So I'm going to turn it now over to Jen. But before I do that, I would like to publicly thank Jen for the very, very good work that she's done as the chair of the review working party. She's done the GNSO a great, great service. And the GNSO really should recognize that, as should the rest of the community. She has set a very high bar for those that are to follow her. So with that, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And it's truly been my pleasure to chair the working party for the GNSO review. I'm sorry, I have the slide. So in terms of our timeline and where we are, currently the draft report is out for public comment, and that remains out for public comment until the 20th of July. Throughout this process, the GNSO review working party has put in significant energy and time to help make the review and recommendations useful and supportive of continuous improvement. We've had 17 meetings, two rounds of nearly 120 comments leading up to the issuance of the draft report. After considering community feedback via the public comment process, in-person meetings here at ICANN 53, and ongoing interaction between the GNSO Review Working Party, Westlake, and staff, the final report will be issued at the end of August. The final report, along with all the public comments, will then be considered by the board, and once the board takes action and accepts the report, we will move into the implementation phase. We have already started thinking about implementation. We met yesterday morning to discuss how we would organize the recommendations, prioritize them, and frame them so that we could start to make a plan for implementation, including looking at the budgeting issues. In the report, which is very lengthy, and I certainly encourage you to read the executive summary, which very nicely summarizes all of the recommendations and the information, but everything is included throughout the lengthy report and the appendices. But there were 36 recommendations under four key themes. Those themes included participation and representation, continuous development, transparency, and alignment with ICANN's future. So again, I really do encourage you to read the report or at least the executive summary, and please do make comments, as that's very helpful and important to us in this process. Throughout the process, we have worked extensively to ensure timely and constructive engagement and feedback. Specifically, we've had 10 sessions here at ICANN 53. We've had ongoing blogs, video, social media. We've created a template to try to help facilitate public comments. I know it's a very large document, so there is available a framework to help you fill in your comments on each of the recommendations. We're starting to look at initial feasibility, including an assessment of all of the proposed recommendations. We are already starting in tandem with all of the process that has to go forward, planning for the implementation phase, and we are continuing to organize and provide feedback from us, the working party, from you, the community, and all of that with Westlake. So just one summarizing note, as we have gone through this process, we have found that there was clearly a need for additional time. I know Ray spoke about all of the reviews going on, and I can definitely say, having gone through this over the last year process, there is a need for additional time for the community to respond and to be able to effectively provide the feedback that ensures the outcome is actually meaningful and useful. So that's just a comment on the review process, that having that time is very important, and I think the extensions that we were granted throughout the process resulted in a better outcome. So, and now I think this is back to Larissa.
Just a few comments now about the at-large review, and this is based on a proposed timeline, which is out for public comment. So with lessons learned from prior reviews, a lot of that information and process improvement is being considered as part of the at-large review. The working party has been formed and is being chaired by Holly Reich, and they're already busy at work looking at a couple of different things. First, they're conducting a preliminary self-assessment, looking at the recommendations that were issued by the prior review, and looking not only at whether those recommendations have been implemented, but also taking a look at how effective the implementation has been at meeting the original objectives of those recommendations. Secondly, they're working on tailoring the standard practices for the review to the unique attributes of the at-large community, so that by the time that the RFP and the formal competitive bidding process kicks off in November, all those nuances and requirements will be considered and included in the formal RFP and will be available during the proposal analysis phase. With that, we expect that an independent examiner will be selected in the early part of 2016, and by April of 2016, the independent examination part of the review will begin. And as Ray suggested, based on our process, the review would take anywhere between 9 to 12 months, and then the cycle of implementation would begin in early 2017.
Thank you, Larissa. So now we come to the portion where we get to hear from you. That's been quite a bit of information. I hope that it's not too much of an overload. Reviews are significant efforts. They take up quite a lot of time, volunteer contribution, and resources on the part of the organization. So we really need feedback from you in terms of whether or not the revised schedule is appropriate, can community cope with it, and if not, we want to hear from you.
My name is Mark McFadden from Interconnect Communications. Hi, Larissa. I have 17 questions. The first question is I'll just do two at a time. The first question regards the very early material that you provided maybe an hour ago, which was about the centralization of project management activities. And you linked that to the dashboard. And what I'm interested in is, are we going to be able to see publicly on the ICANN website those dashboard, the progress that is reflected in those project management activities on a public dashboard so the community can see that? There's a simple nod of the head.
Yes.
that's all I need was a yes. And then if I could have someone go to slide number 23. That's very kind of you. This is 2 days in a row, Ray. This has to do with the scope of the reviews. It's the second bullet under the SIC. And it also goes to the comment about the deck chairs on the Titanic. One of the things here is I would like to see the scope of the review be able to be reviewed by the community, not just by the SIC, but that there actually be input from the community on the scope of that review. And the reason for that is that the community who is actually participating in that area, in that constituency, supporting organization, whatever is being reviewed at the time, has very good insight on what needs to be reviewed, the amount of, not just organizational effectiveness, and you know where I would go here, is that there may be broader or narrower efforts for the scope. And I think getting community input on those is very important, because not that I've ever disagreed with you in the past, but in this case, if the scope doesn't, in some cases, address structure, you might have put the hull on the top of the boat instead of on the bottom where it belongs, and you've sunk it anyway.
There we go. The community was given ample opportunity to provide input into the criteria during the early stages under the review working party. And there were, I don't know how many sessions you conducted discussing criteria, but there were several.
I'm not picking on Ray.
What I'm saying is that you're also talking about the views and inputs of the community. What I'm saying is the opportunity was there, and information was solicited.
So what I'm saying here is that in your diagram and the way you described it, the scope of the review is controlled by and is coordinated by the SIC.
The scope of the review is the structure of the criteria. If we're going to look at, something's going to be looked at, it's going to be included in the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And then how that criteria is going to be examined is determined by whether it's going to be included in the 360s, it's going to be included in interviews, it's where it's going to be included. But the scope of the review includes all the criteria.
I understand that. But my feedback here, and take it just as feedback, Ray, and my feedback here is that there needs to be a formal process by which the community gives input into that scope.
And there is. It's through the review working party. Do you want to say anything to that, Jen?
No, we did understand that the concern about structure, and so we did add some questions that allowed for that to be commented upon. So we were able to provide that feedback that we felt that should have been in scope.
And again, this is just input here. I'm just giving a suggestion from the community, right? But for instance, in constituency meetings, the consultants for one particular review, right, are talking about how they're unable to do anything in that area, right? So I think my only suggestion, Ray, this is not meant as criticism, this is meant as a general process improvement, is that there needs to be, prior to the development of that scope, public comment on it. That's all.
Okay, well, Mark, I've known you longer than dirt, so I understand where you're coming from. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. We do accept that input, and I don't think you're older than dirt. Fiona.
For the record, Fiona Songa from the Kenya Internet Exchange Point and former member of HRT2, currently involved in the CCWG on accountability. I just have a recommendation to ask if Denise and team would also spend a bit more time looking at what the CCWG on accountability is working on, because there are some quite significant recommendations within that process on the accountability mechanisms and the review processes that need to be plugged into what you're planning to do. When we create that synergy, we save on time, we save on effort, and we save on the back and forth between the community and staff on the processes, so that we can sort of like kill two birds, three birds, four birds with one stone. Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona, and thank you for underscoring that point. And as I think, as Chris also emphasized, we have a placeholder, and we're very cognizant of the discussions and work that's going on within the accountability framework discussions. And we're keeping very close tabs, and we'll make sure that we incorporate any final outcomes that are relevant to reviews.
Thank you for the scribes. That was Denise Michelle. Chuck.
Chuck Gomes, and I'm going to be speaking in my personal capacity. First, let me say that I really appreciate the fact that staff has decided to relook at the workload and to move some things out a little bit. I think that's critical at this stage and point. So I compliment you on that and support that. I'm going to comment on several things of the report, and what I'll do is pick one category first, and then I'll get back at the end of the line so that other people can come up. Let me start with the GNSO review, and I want to reiterate Ray's thanks and compliments of Jen and the job that she has done in leading the review working party. So my compliments and thanks there as well. Now, with regard to that review, one area that's going to come up with the GNSO review is this whole area of prioritization that you were talking about. If you look at the 36 recommendations, quite a few of them are going to probably have significant cost implications if they're approved. So I just want to reinforce, Chris, what you said in terms of that. And I'm not sure what the best way is to prioritize those, but that I just wanted to reinforce that, because it's going to come up if all those recommendations are approved. Another thing, and this kind of came up in our review team meeting yesterday, we're a working party, okay, our working party meeting. With regard to implementation, to the extent it's possible, syncing the implementation efforts with the budget cycle, which is pretty firm now and has worked really well this year, and I think it will going forward, is, and it may not always be possible because you can't control the timelines, but keeping that in mind is helpful, because if you hit it wrong in the budget cycle, there may not be funds available to implement as soon as possible. The next thing I want to talk about is the timelines of the whole cycle with any given organizational review. I suspect, I don't know what, Jen, if you've looked at this, if others have, but the GNSO review, I think, is probably on the high side of 3 years, the whole cycle, when we get done, including implementation, may even be longer, which leaves a very, and I'm glad we went to 5-year cycles, but 2 years, even if you have a full 2 years, is pretty minimal for more significant changes. And I don't know what the solution is on that, because if you start stretching it out longer than 5 years, I think that might be problematic in itself. But when more significant changes are happening, a 2-year period of actual experience is pretty minimal. In terms of that. So I just throw those things out. I don't have easy solutions, because I don't think there are easy solutions, but they are factors that we need to keep in mind. And then I'm going to get in the back of the line and let somebody else talk.
Thanks, Chuck. Ray wanted to respond to you.
Chuck, with regards to your first item as far as cost, in fact, large costs and so forth, it probably might be worthwhile to take some creative views on that in terms of doing amortization of that effort through uses of smaller projects that can be spread out across time. Therefore, you spread the cost out, as opposed to trying to eat the whole pie with one gulp. Just have a piece at a time is much better. So that's one possible solution. In regards to syncing to the budget cycle, that is absolutely critical. And that's why the only things that should bust into the budget cycle are those immediate things that are either in progress, which case they should already be budgeted, or those that have to be taken care of immediately because a plane's going to fall out of the sky or something like that. Otherwise, getting it into the strategic plans and getting it into the operation plans gets it into the budget cycle, gets gets into everybody's mindset. So, yes, right on. And that's one of the primary considerations we had with regards to the implementation. And in regards to that cycle, had 5 years to work with. And so in my mind, it was we had to get at least 2 years there, but had to allow time for all the other things to occur, plus recognize the fact that you're working with volunteers and not working with a dedicated staff that you can work 80 hours a week, although volunteers will probably say they're working closer to 120 anyway. So those were the considerations that were taken into account. And so believe me, if we could have squeezed more than 2 years out of that operational time, we would have.
Thank you, Ray. Alan?
Thank you. Alan Greenberg, also speaking in my own capacity. I've got a number of different points, but they're all short, and I don't require an answer on any of them. The first one, I'm going to start off saying something that you don't often hear in public comments, and I can. I'd like to thank the board for its wisdom. No reaction? Okay.
Nancy, could we have a drum roll, please?
in deciding that we might have to slow down this process and reconsider it. Thank you. I'll point out that we already were doing it sort of tacitly. The original ATRT schedule said, the AOC said every 3 years. We took that literally the first time. The first one was done in calendar year 2010. The second one was done in calendar year 2013 with only two intermediate years. This time we're implicitly assuming there's three intermediate years. Otherwise we'd be starting another one next January. So it's already sort of ongoing. I'm encouraged to hear that there will be more clarity on the implementation, clarity and detail implementation of ATRT2. Some of them right now are quite clear. You even reference the specific recommendation and say what you're doing. Some of them are so opaque that one has to believe that either nothing's going on or you forgot to mention what it is. So I am looking for that. On prioritization, the ATRT2 discussed that at length. And we decided we really didn't have a handle on the information to do that, because we don't know exactly what staff and what budget is going to be implementing any given item. Some of it's obvious. If we have a recommendation to the GAC and a recommendation to the finance group, that's different. And there's no reason they can't proceed in parallel overall resources, but other things, it was completely opaque to us who it would be doing it, whether we have to prioritize among them or not. So if you're expecting groups to prioritize things, they're going to need a lot more information and feedback from staff quickly, right at the end of the process when the recommendations are coming together. And lastly, I'm pleased to hear that the board has reviewed the reviews. You might consider talking to the people who are on the review teams, the ones who wrote the recommendations, and seeing whether they think the implementation is going well or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. As per your request, there will not be a response, although I do have a response for you on that last point. We'll do it offline. Holly.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to echo Alan's thanks to the delay of the implementation of the ALAC review, because everyone's time really has been taken up. That said, I think this is a bit of a reply to, not to Mark, but friendly. Right now we are developing, we're using that timeline to develop criteria to in fact look at, starting with our own people in ALAC, what questions are we asking, and who are we asking them of? So they're being developed right now. We're going to have a lot of information now before the whole process starts. One of the questions is, who do we ask? And it's probably not just within our own community. It's probably asking other people what they think of us and hoping they're kind. So maybe Mark will also be willing to be part of that process, and hopefully he'll be kind.
Thank you, Hallie. Avery?
I was told a hub is next.
Charlotte, is a hub comment coming? Okay.
Hello, this is Matogolo Jabera from Tanzania. I really appreciate for the work that has been done so far, and I have few questions to ask. One is just to understand what is the entry point for a new member who may be interested to join this initiative, because I have seen a number of presentations that have been given, but I just need to know what is the entry point if someone need to participate and give comments and submission on the work that has been done so far. And the second question is on the slide number 13. I just need to know more detail on slide number 13, because I see zero complete, 100% in progress. What does this mean? I just need to understand from this side. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the question, I believe, which came from the Congo. So, Denise.
So an immediate way to participate is to offer your public comments online in the public comment forum that's open regarding reviews, the schedule, and proposed improvements. If you're interested in participating in one of the upcoming reviews, on ICANN's website, there will be posted a solicitation for volunteers. So those are the two two primary ways that you can be involved. And of course, as the upcoming reviews go forward, they do a whole series of outreach and engagement and ask for input from the community. So you can be looking for those as well.
Is there another one, or is it me?
Avery.
Okay, thank you. Avery Doria speaking. I'm going to make comments on two things, one of them to do with the ATRT review. One of the things I'd like to caution is putting a dependency on starting that on the work going on in the CCWG. The CCWG has yet to propose. The CCWG has yet to deal with the whole issue of how we phase out the AOC and bring in another regime of reviews. At this point, we have a commitment to the AOC. At this point, we have a recommendation from ATRT 2 that the preparation work for the next ATRT, ATRT 3, start at least 3 months before the turn of the year so that the review team actually gets a whole year. One of the things that we had an issue with was doing it on a 9-month schedule, because the rule about delivering by the end of the year is seen as quite strict. So until such time as things change, I would really recommend that we maintain our commitment under the AOC to start that review on time, and recommend, given that the board did accept, at least in principle, all of the recommendations from ATRT2, that the preparation start in time for those teams to be seated by the beginning of January so that they can actually get going. So that's the first comment I wanted to make. The second comment, I wanted to go to the GNSO review and other reviews of the SOs, ACs in general. These are bottom-up organizations. These are organizations that are supposed to be defining themselves, and perhaps the board gets to approve their self-definition in some way. Before the sixth current incarnation, the terms of reference of these reviews had always come from these organizations. At some point along the way, the SIC decided that no, they would do the term of reference, and then, you know, perhaps we could consult on it. But if they said there would be no structural review, that meant there would be no structural review. And it didn't matter what anyone else had to say. I find that extremely problematic. First of all, in terms of looking at the specificity of the GNSO, when we did this experiment at the last review with this bicameral notion, it was with the explicit understanding that we would review it after we had done it for a while. We've done it for a while. So the fact that we were barred from actually doing structural review is really quite problematic. So perhaps I'm not being quite as polite as Mark in asking to please let us even review what the terms of conditions are, but to actually sort of say that the board has to really consider what its proper role in reviewing a bottom-up self-organizing group is, and that certainly determining the conditions of the review is incompatible with that bottom-up organization. Thank you.
Ray? Avery, I'm not going to give a long, detailed explanation or discussion of this. In fact, you and I could probably sit down together and have a nice, long conversation about a couple things that are pertinent. First of all is that there was opportunity inside the review working party as it started putting together criteria to do that. Now, the criteria that is laid out is that which is common to all organizations. All organizations have elections. All organizations have some way or form of identifying participants and members. All organizations have a responsibility for levels of participation and diversity. Those are all core, if you will, attributes. And they all would work well within a bottom-up or a top-down assessment of an organization, and they all point to the organizational effectiveness of the organization. One of the things with regards to structure is that looking at things only at it from the viewpoint of structure is that you don't necessarily see everything from the other side of how effective some things are, because it's being clouded by your look at the structure. On the other hand, if you look at things from the viewpoint of organizational effectiveness, one of the things that may be hampering that organizational effectiveness is a structure just standing in the way of it occurring. So that is something that needs to be taken into consideration. In addition, there is nothing that has ever stopped the GNSO at any point in time for undertaking a change to their own structure. What happened last time was that it was more or less dictated to the GNSO. And there's nothing that since that time that has ever stopped the GNSO from saying, we don't like this and we want to change it, and we want to change it now and institute a cross-community working group, however you want to do it, and start the work. So waiting for 5 years for it to occur is something that you did not have to do. And I would like to carry this conversation on with you further, but I think maybe if we could do that offline, it'd be better.
Can I ask one follow-up? In all of the reports that have come through, it has been there will be a review of this, there will be, I guess, a revision of the report based on the review, and then the SIC will approve it and we will implement. Does that mean that if we get this other, we would like to do something else to you by that time or by some other time, we have something to say, wait?
The devil is in the details of the implementation. If in the course of implementing the recommendation to do something, you say the best way to do that is to change the structure, then that is part of the implementation. So you have to take a broader view at the implementation. It's not just the fact that you only had 2% of your people coming from XYZ place, and you say, well, okay, fine, we'll dump some money in there, we'll spend some more travel budget, and we'll get more people here or there to do that. It may be that, no, the best way to do that is to restructure something to do it. And it may be involved in changing the actual physical organization. It may also be something with the fact to do the way you do business, a process or procedure. So when it comes to implementation, nothing is off base. At the end, what you really have to consider is how long is it going to take to do it, and how many people it's going to take to do it, and how much money. So in the end, it's always going to be time, talent, and treasure. But there's nothing off the base. So if you want to change the structure during the course of implementation, have at it.
Thank you. We have 15 minutes left. I'm going to close the queue. Jonathan.
Yes, thank you. I this is a tough session because I think we all have this desire to mention five different things whenever we come up, and that probably makes it difficult for the flow. But I, too, would like to thank the board for finding money off budget for the CCT review requirements for the survey and the economic study, because while there's no plane falling out of the sky, it was something that we needed to get to quickly. I guess my comment on the structure has to do in some ways with what Ray said in terms of implementation, and I think this has come up before, that some of the frustration with the structure actually has to do with how that structure is interpreted by staff, and you've heard this many times, and so I mean, I don't mean to harp on it, but the depth to which you dive into the structure when forming review teams and things like that, I think becomes significant, that the fact that there's no one from the IPC that's ever been on a review team, for example, is sort of a function of, well, one person from the CSG. So treating them as that aligned, I think, has been part of the frustration and might not require a structural change to the GNSO, where there are some conveniences there, but it's a sort of an interpretation of the structure that I think we continue to bring up and has the possibility to be improved minus an enormous structural reform. The other question I had for Chris, based on your presentation, sorry, I'll wake you back up again. I know it's been a while, but you were talking about the review of the ATRT implementation, and you brought up things like how to define if something has been finished, how to best describe the status of something and where things are, because there was this sense that things weren't being done that really were being done. But I'm wondering if two things, I guess, is were there other things that weren't just mistakes in communication that came up, where there were, in fact, barriers to implementation? Was it the amount of time? Why did the ATRT2 team feel the need to bring recommendations from ATRT1 into their recommendations if it was just a question of things were happening but we weren't hearing about them, or that we didn't know how to describe that they were complete, or were there other issues that were sitting in the front of implementation, I guess, that you could go into?
Chris, concisely, please. And is this the end of your question, or do you have more?
Okay. I'll take it offline with you, because I'm not sure I understand what you mean about bringing ATRT1 stuff to ATRT2, but
I think part of it was a understanding the recommendation, different views of what the ultimate objective and what closure meant for each of the recommendations. And so some of the ATRT1 recommendations were, when looked at with fresh eyes by ATRT group, they felt that additional work could and should be done. And so they brought in some of those recommendations and noted them in ATRT2. Again, if we, one of the changes we're proposing for the review team is to make sure we have some time after they submit their final recommendations so we have a much clearer understanding and guidance from them on implementation, which should help address that. Does that help?
Maybe.
Take it offline. Thank you very much. Chuck.
Chuck Gomes again, and I'll follow up with that one, because one of my questions was, what is the status of, I think it was about 10 recommendations from ATRT1 that were not completed and were identified at the beginning of the ATRT2 report. Now, I may have just missed it, but I've never seen a status on those incomplete ones. And I understand that a few of those were beyond the board's control and other organizations, but it would be good to get a status of those. And you don't have to give it to me right now, but I think the community deserves to know what the status of those incomplete ones were. My other question is this. Has the board or staff or anyone or all of us together considered the implications of the CEO being changed in the middle of a review that's going to be started? Because March is going to come, you have the CEO who is leaving, and the CEO is one of the leaders of some of the AOC reviews. So I think that's an important thing to plan for.
Thank you, Chuck. Does anybody want to respond to that? Nope. Staff will take that as input to
bring it. I can respond in that the AOC says the CEO or its designee. So maybe we look at, designee who that might be, to have continuity. But that's certainly a question to consider.
Ray.
Chuck, with regards to the CEO, if you got hit by a beer truck, you'd have the same problem. That's why succession planning, which Fadi spent some time discussing yesterday, is so important.
Thank you, Ray. You look remarkably like the independent examiner.
Good morning. Thank you, Rinalia. My name's Richard Westlake of Westlake Governance, and as you've observed, we are the independent examiner on the current GNSO review. And to put everybody's mind at rest, I'm not going to talk about the GNSO review specifically today. But I'm taking up partly Alan's invitation. He said he thought it would be important that some of the people who have done the reviews should have the opportunity to comment. As an independent examiner, we have typically not commented at ICANN functions because we are examining rather than being a direct participant, but obviously this is a case which we believe is an exception. So what I'm particularly like to do is to just give you some observations followed by one or two what I think are evidence-based suggestions for this process. Firstly, congratulations on at least going through this review and some of the initial decisions that are coming. Our observation is that throughout these reviews, the vast majority of the work has to be done by people who are not being paid to do it. The ICANN community is largely consisting of unpaid volunteers. They have limited time. Our impression is that they have a massive load on them. Now, whether it is specifically at the moment, but that unquestionably over the current period with the various IANA stewardship transition issues, the various other issues that are going on, we would suggest that perhaps some people are approaching overload. Over the course of the GNSO review, which has now gone on for the last 12 months, it was originally scheduled to finish in January. It's been extended twice, I think, if I remember correctly, and our part of the review will now be complete in August. These extensions have been as a result of requests from the community for more time. Firstly, in getting engagement in the 360 reviews, and secondly, simply in having the opportunity to analyse our initial recommendations, our initial report, to be able to have time to consider them and to come back. Without those processes being thorough, without getting both clearly thought and well spread broad engagement from the community, the value of those reviews is severely diminished. So our priority has been on getting a quality product rather than trying to rush it, and in trying to encourage people to participate. I admired Larissa Gernick and her team's patience in encouraging people to participate in the 360 reviews, which we launched last year. I think they were launched, if I remember, in July or August, originally scheduled for 6 weeks and extended well beyond that to close to 3 months in the end by the time we had exhausted encouraging people to participate, and in the end got a good response, but it was amazingly hard, drawn-out work. So my recommendation, or my suggestion, if I could, trying to keep it relatively succinct, is that the board take on board all the comments that have been made from both the table and people commenting about the workloads, about the prioritisation. It's not surprising to me that most volunteers, given the choice, will prioritise their time delivering the purpose for which they joined whichever part of the community they're in. Many people would consider reviews as an addition to that. We'd encourage both the people who are putting together the terms of reference for those organisations and the organisations themselves to build in time to participate in these reviews. They are an important part of the continuous improvement process for ICANN, and so not only would we ask people to build in time, that inevitably is going to mean some extension of prioritisations and timetables for activities generally. And we would ask people to consider, maybe when decisions come to it, to consider whether all the future planned scheduled organisational reviews, particularly those mandated under the bylaws, is it as important to get them done or is it important to get them right? And maybe the timeline should reflect that. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. It is important to get it done right. And the issue of community workload is very high on the board mind right now. It's been discussed a few times. Staff is always ensuring that it is apparent on our agenda. And we asked for feedback from you in terms of the review. We heard quite a bit of feedback, and it's all valuable. I'm not sure that we've heard enough on whether or not the schedule is okay. And so for the community representatives, please go back, consult with your community, and give staff input on whether or not the schedule is okay with you. And if it is not okay, we need to hear that so that board decision will reflect the community need and constraints. So I think we're at the end of our session. There are some links that you can tap into. It's on the ICANN Buenos Aires website. If you have any questions, please feel free to send it in. There is a specific email address, reviews@ICANN.org, and we're happy to continue having this discussion with you. With that, thank you very much.